Bhutendriya sasyam mahim abalabhyam yanam ಸುತಮ ಅವಿಕಾರಖಂಡಬೋಧಂ ಕರ್ಮವೇ ಆವೃತಾತ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯಲಂಬ್ಯ ಹಸ್ತೆಕಂಡಬೋಧಂ ಆತಪ್ಯಮಾನ ನಮಾಮಿ ಶುದ್ಧಮಖಂಡಬೋಧಂ ಆದಪ್ಯಮಾನ ಹೃದಯೇ ಆದಪ್ಯಮಾನ
ಶುದ್ಧಮವಿಕಾರಮಖಂಡಬೋಧಂ ವಸಿತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ
ಆದಪ್ಯಮಾನ ಹೃದಯೇ ವಸಿತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ
ಇಂದ್ರಿಯ
ನಮಾಮಿ
from our respectful obeisances. Translation, I have pure soul appearing now, bound by my activities and lying in the womb of my mother by the arrangement of Maya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who is also here with me, but who is unaffected and changeless. He is unlimited, but he is perceived in the repentant heart. To him I offer my respectful obeisances. Purport, as stated in the previous verse, the Jiva soul says, I take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, constitution of the Jiva soul is a subordinate servitor of the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Both the Supreme Soul and the Jiva soul are sitting in the same body, as confirmed in the Upanishads. They're sitting as friends. But one is suffering, the other is aloof from suffering. In this verse it is said, Isudam avikaram kamtabodam. The super soul is always seeking apart from the contamination. The living entity is contaminated and suffering because he has a material body. But that does not mean that because the Lord is also with them, he also has a material body. He is avikara, changeless. He is always the same, supreme. But unfortunately, the mind-body philosophers, because of their impure hearts, cannot understand that the supreme soul, the super soul, is different from the individual soul. It is said here, atapyamana hridaye avasitam. He is in the heart of every living entity, but he can be realized only by a soul who is repentant. The individual soul becomes repentant that he forgot his constitutional position, wanted to become one with the super soul, and tried to best in order over material nature. He has been baffled, and therefore he is repentant. At that time, super soul, or the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul, is realized. As it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births, the knowledge comes from the conditioned soul that Vasudeva is great, he is master, he is Lord. The individual soul is a servant, and therefore he surrenders unto him. At that time he becomes a Mahatma, a great soul. Therefore, a fortunate living being who comes to this understanding, even within the womb of his mother, has his liberation assured. Translation, I, the pure soul, appearing now, bound by my activities, am lying in the womb of my mother by the arrangement of Maya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who is here, also here with me, but who is unaffected and changeless. He is unlimited, but he is received in a repentant heart. To him I offer my respectful obeisances. So this is the jiva in the womb, praying to the Supreme Lord. This assumes, of course, that the jiva has some sort of devotion and recognizes the Lord and recognizes karma, etc. Of course, we cannot expect all souls to be in this position. Here is a description of the Supreme Lord and a description of the jiva, which is, both of which are quite accurate. So the jiva here is described as being bound up and covered by the body and the senses and the mind. In other words, the gross and subtle bodies of the living entity are a covering upon the jiva. And he remains in this position, even though he is something different from that. So it's a covering upon the jiva, which creates this problem. So therefore it says, buddha karma vi, bound up by karma, and avrita atma, the atma is covered. Position of the Supreme Lord is considered to be different. That Supreme Lord is not covered. So that the Supreme Lord is described here as being visuddha, or very pure, completely pure, avikara, without change, and akanda bodham, having unlimited knowledge. So this is different from the jiva who is bound up. Because the jiva is bound up, he takes bodies which are changeable. So he is not avikara. The soul itself is avikara, but he has a body which is changeable. The Supreme Lord also has a body, but it is avikara. It is not different from the Lord himself. So the jiva has a soul with a covering, and that covering is changeable. Though we can say the jiva is also pure, because the jiva, the atma, never changes, he is covered. And why is the jiva covered? Because of desires in the jiva. So in that sense, we can say the jiva is not pure because he has these desires which are filled with ignorance. So therefore, the jiva is contaminated with ignorance and therefore is covered by these different bodies. Whereas the Supreme Lord is visuddha, In all cases, he is never covered, he is never under ignorance, never contaminated, whatever. He is always pure. And even though he is also in the body with the jiva, he is not in any way affected by that, whereas the jiva is. He is covered by the senses and everything, and he is affected by ignorance. So the Supreme Lord is never, ever covered up and affected by material energy at any point. The Lord is full of unlimited knowledge. His consciousness is always of the highest level, whereas that of the jiva is subject to gunas, ignorance, etc., affected by the material world. So the consciousness is there, but it becomes affected or colored in different ways. Supreme Lord is not like that. However, in this material world, it often appears that the Lord is affected. So avatars appear, and they often appear to take birth because they have a mother and father, and it looks like they're born as ordinary children. It's just Kapila here is born, Krishna is born, and Rama is born. So it appears as if they're born and they're taking body. So this is an appearance, and it is not actually so. They do not take bodies. Those bodies are eternal. But then we can say, yes, okay, so they're eternal, but the form is small and it becomes big, so it changes. So it's vikara. So if you're saying the Supreme Lord has no change, how is it possible that the Lord changes and he's small and he becomes big? So this again gives the idea that people will say that therefore the Lord has a material body because it changes, and something which is eternal shouldn't change. So in spite of the fact that the body does seem to change to us, actually it does not change. We can say that all these bodies are bodies of the Lord, and they're all eternal. And every time the Lord changes slightly in his size or whatever, it is eternal. And so from our point of view, it may look as if it's changing. But actually all these aspects of the Lord, all these forms when he's a baby and when he grows up, they're all eternal. So in that sense, there's no change. He is just showing one form and another form and another form of himself. So in that sense, he is still avikara. And, of course, because the Lord does seem to have this body which changes, it looks as if he is also affected. And he's not pure after all. So when Krishna is a child, then he appears to be hungry. And he wants to drink milk from Mother Yasoda. And so he is afflicted by hunger and thirst, like ordinary jivas in this material world. And he cries, and he gets angry. So it looks as if he is affected like everybody else in this material world, and also covered by ignorance. In this case, we should not think that this is the same as material hunger, or material anger, or material thirst, etc. This is part of the Lord's arrangement for his pastimes only. So it is not the same as material hunger, anger, thirst, etc. It is there only to increase the love of his devotees, nothing else. And so it is different. And similarly, it appears when the Lord appears in this material world, it looks like he is also covered by ignorance because he doesn't know everything. He doesn't seem to know everything. He seems also afflicted by some sort of ignorance. However, again, that is the yoga maya of the Supreme Lord to create conditions which look like ignorance but actually aren't. They're therefore the Lord's pastimes. So, of course, when Krishna is a child, then he appears ignorant. At first he cannot speak, and then he can speak later on, and he cannot walk. And he has to learn how to walk. So he said, well, he's ignorant like ordinary jivas. And he has to learn to speak and talk and whatever. Again, this is arrangement of the Lord's yoga maya and lila shakti for pastimes only. But this will be confusing to people in the material world. So they may become skeptical of the Supreme Lord and think he has a material body. But this is not so. It is only the devotees who can understand this and accept this. Those who are not devotees will not accept this. And therefore they'll say, no, all these bodies are also material. You cannot accept them as ultimate. And instead of accepting this form of the Lord, they will accept something formless and without shape and without color, without activity. And if this is the best form of the Supreme Lord, that is impersonal form. And instead of the personal form, they'll accept the impersonal form because of the problem in seeing the activities and qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. In any case, the Lord has this ability to appear as if he has got ignorance and change, etc. But actually he does not. He has potency by which everything is eternal. So the jiva in the womb may appreciate this form of the Lord and may understand his own condition of being covered. And he understands that the Lord is the only person that can get him out of this miserable condition. So as said in Bhagavad Gita, it is difficult to overcome maya. Durayaya. It is very difficult to escape from maya. So the bondage of karma is difficult to overcome. So it is proper that the jiva will pray to the Supreme Lord, I am in this miserable position because of my karma. Only you can get me out. So in one sense, yes, it is proper that we recognize the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, we know from the point of devotion that this is mixed devotion. I'm asking the Lord for some freedom from material world. So that is asking for liberation. So that would be again Mr. Bhakti at best. Or if it's simply get relief from the suffering of karma, then it is karma Mr. Bhakti. So it is not the highest type of thing to ask from the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, the jiva in the womb is in a suffering position, and therefore it is natural that he should apply to the Supreme Lord. So even for the devotee, it is natural, if he's in a suffering condition, to ask the Lord for help. There's nothing wrong with that, because we see that even the very advanced devotee, one of them has surrendered, and one of the symptoms of surrender is to think of the Lord as one's protector. The Lord will protect me at all times, so he has a conviction. So if he's in danger, then he does not think of anybody in the material world, but he thinks of the Lord. So therefore, when Draupadi was being disrobed by Shoshana, she cried out for Krishna. So we do not criticize and say, oh, she's a karma Mr. Bhakti, because she's asking the Lord to supply some cloth to her, and she's asking for help. So we don't criticize her. Why? Because she is an elevated devotee, and she surrendered to the Lord. And it is natural that she calls only to the Lord and nobody else. So even in pure bhakti, the devotees may exhibit this idea of asking the Lord for help and cannot be criticized. However, this should not be a continual thing, that this is a prominent theme in our bhakti, that we're always asking the Lord for things. But this is only in special circumstances this will occur. But where it is the very motivation for our bhakti, then we call that mixed bhakti. Where the whole bhakti is based upon the fact that we're looking for something, then it is a mixed bhakti, not pure bhakti. So, in this case, we can say that this jiva is rather mixed. In most cases, it would be rather mixed in his approach. He recognizes the Lord at the same time. He is surrendering because of the pains within the womb, and he wants to get out of that those difficult conditions. So here we see Jiva, who was quite advanced because he recognizes the difference between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. He recognizes the cause of the Jiva's suffering, and he also recognizes the solution, that is, surrender to the Supreme Lord. So that is quite an advanced position for a Jiva to have. We cannot expect all Jivas to have that type of recognition, but in this case, we have a Jiva who has some recognition. Unfortunately, we'll see that after all this recognition, then Jiva forgets. When he comes out of the womb, then he forgets all of this. Huh? So even this knowledge is subject to forgetfulness unless it is very, very strong. So, in this way, one who has faith, which develops when we have this body, that is an indication of someone who has even more development. So in spite of having the material body and having the consciousness, if one develops faith, then idea of recognizing the position of the Jiva, the Supreme Lord, and Maya, etc., it becomes quite strong. So in spite of the material coverings of the body, etc., the Jiva at that point recognizes this knowledge, has this knowledge, so that's even a more advanced stage. So that's the position for beginning bhakti, sadhana bhakti.
Kiruna Thakur says, as you can say, they are killing. There is not that
Yeah, devotees don't care about the material existence. Or one can be in heaven or hell, it doesn't really matter. Okay? But here, the Jiva's in hell and is praying, hell in the womb, so the Jiva is praying to the Supreme Lord. So it's not the position of a real devotee, actually. May, but not continually. Not a continuous. It's not the basis of his bhakti. In other words, the bhakti is not caused by his miserable condition. That's secondary.
Madhava said nothing but service. The second then service will be there. But then service will be, those on your part will be the service. They're still not surrendered.
Yeah. Well, there's a little bit of surrender there. A little bit of surrender. It's not complete surrender. No, there's slight. So there's flickering. A little bit of surrender.
No, that's sometimes people are in critical situations. They call like a call for the Lord, call not for the way. And we can see how sometimes Lord also calls the devotees for the help. Different circumstances.
Yeah. We see in the case of Gajendra. Gajendra called out, and the Lord helped. So the Lord likes to help the devotees also. Even if it is a call for something to save the devotee in their particular position, and he likes that. And even with Draupadi, the same, the Lord responded. So if it is devotee, the Lord is pleased. And he wants to help the devotee in any case, because the Lord says, I come and I protect my devotees and kill the demons. So the Lord comes as avatar because the demons are harassing the devotees.
Yes, being a Supreme Lord, why he should depend on the demons' help? He is a Supreme Lord. Why he should depend on the devotees' help?
He helps the devotees because of his love for the devotee.
He is asking the other way around. He says that the Lord requests for the devotees' help sometimes. Why should he?
Where?
And
it's to engage the devotees. That's all. It's our pastimes. He likes to glorify the devotees, so therefore he also engages Arjuna in fighting. battle. Yeah, the Pandavas fight. Krishna could fight the battle of Kshetra also and destroy everybody without doing anything, but engages his devotees in doing it. Glorify the devotee.
Gaudiya ma vibhurti namaste narasingai.
Oh, well, one can ask that. Apparently, the origin of that is that Prabhupada once was sick, and then he asked the devotees in LA to chant those prayers. So that's the origin why we do it every day. And then people apply for everything else as well. Of course, ultimately, our object of worship is Krishna, a Supreme Lord. But Nrsimhadeva is recognized because of his great power to conquer over great asura like Rani Kasipu in the material world, so to combat the demons or whatever, demonic influence. One can pray to Nrsimhadeva. But it should be related to bhakti in any case. In other words, we're not praying to Nrsimhadeva for material reasons. In other words, it's only for devotional service. So Nrsimhadeva is often called the bhakti vigna vinasa, that he destroys the obstacles to bhakti. Who are demons? Well, to remove the obstacles to devotional service.
Does the word avikaran mean beautiful also?
What?
Avikaran.
Avikaran? No.
This word hridaya is there. Hridaya. Actually, we say that the consciousness is situated somewhere in the heart. But the heart is developed only in the later stage of the child, when it is inside the mother's womb. But we say that consciousness is eternal. How do we contemplate this contradiction?
Well, consciousness is eternal. It can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the heart. It could be anywhere.
So when does the heart actually develop?
Ask the doctors. Anyway, we don't have to refer to the physical heart actually also. Sometimes heart means mind also.
Maharaj, sometimes the Om Shanti Guru, they say that the soul is in the Anyam Chakra, in between the eye grows. So is it true or
not? Never heard that. I don't, even yoga, I don't think they say that. As far as I know.